Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
On a Monday, we're hanging out at the Battleborne Broadcast Center. Adam Hill is here as the company. Griffin is back on the board. Good guest spots coming up. So we'll talk to the one, the only, Justin Watkins from Battleborne Injury Lawyers. A lot to get into in the second hour. Another great weekend of sports going on. Even better week upcoming. A lot of controversy. A lot of yelling. A lot of screaming. A lot of social stuff. We know the NBA Finals are set. NHL Finals. Stanley Cup set as well. So we'll get into that in just a couple minutes. What'd you do over the weekend? Well, I saw you for one of the days.
A lot. I can't even remember everything I did. I definitely tried some roundabout ways to try to interview a professional athlete.
Really?
Stocked out some backdoor, like stage door kind of spots.
When do we get to hear about that?
I don't know.
Comes out?
No, I didn't get them.
Ah!
Just failed. Watched UFC yesterday. Didn't do a whole lot at all.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who deserves a day off more than Adam Hill, right?
I don't know if that's true.
Well, you said it last week. You were on VSiN, and you're like, hey, if you want no life, then you cover sports in Las Vegas. So there was a rare day on Sunday where you could take it easy. There you go.
But it didn't involve life. That was actually just like, all right, do some laundry and like sleep.
You got to catch up.
Sure.
Sometimes. Okay. Well, we're going to get into a big discussion, and it really will be a big discussion as I do Omega Tease in the 5 o'clock hour. Big soap. Like, we have gone crazy on big chicken, and now it's turning into big fast food. And now we're going to tackle, well, we'll see if we'll tackle it. Someone else did. Big soap is in the crosshairs.
Controversies.
It is. It actually is very controversial. I had it on the docket for hour three, and I was driving over, and one of my favorite shows is Covino and Rich. And I really mean that, by the way. I had someone question me like a month ago, and they're like, do you really like that show? You're always so sarcastic.
Probably
like,
me.
No, it was someone else. I'm like, no, I really like it. I've liked it going back years and years and years. But let's start out with the NFL and future earnings stories on this Monday. You talk about Friday and Thursday being the wide receiver waiting game in the NFL. Just like we had the quarterback waiting game. Who was going to fall first? Was it Lamar Jackson? Was it Herbert? Was it Joey Burrow? And now the wide receivers have been stacking up, those who are ready to get their first mega deal. And last week, Jalen Waddle got a really good deal. I think, frankly, a little too big, and I think the Dolphins are kind of risking it. But maybe it's a little insurance in case. Maybe they know more about Tyreek Hill and his life off the field, which can be pretty tumultuous. Maybe he's maybe they're looking at him going, you know, we're going to pay Waddle like a one because we may not have the one moving forward. But I think Jefferson was the guy, right?
I think
he was waiting to see where – who do you think is the guy?
Well, I think Jefferson is the top guy, but it was between him and Lamb of who's going to go first, because the other one is probably going to get slightly more.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think Jefferson decided to just sign it, because he's like, well, I don't think Lamb's getting this.
Nope. I think today was a glorious day for CeeDee Lamb. He can ask for it. I don't think he's going to get it, but it just got much uglier in my mind for the Cowboys and Jerry Jones, who seems to be stuck on this, hey, we got to keep things in line financially. Like, why? You're 100 years old.
Yeah.
Spend the money.
Yeah. And I saw the contract and I said, well, that's why Jefferson signed it. Because
good contract too.
Yeah, because they're not like, this is not one that's going to be topped, but you never know. I mean, Amon Ross St. Brown got the top deal. So,
is Waddle's a guarantee? What's his guarantee?
Well, they all have their different, right? So it's okay. He got the most guaranteed. So I'll get the most per season, and then I'll take the most total value. Everybody just wants to have the most on some level. But if you remember, I'll say pettiness. I'm not saying that in a real derogatory word, but everybody wants to have the biggest one. So what they did is they paid Amon-Ra St. Brown $10,000 more than the previous high contract, just to be like, all right, look, you got the biggest deal for, and he knew it was going to be for a week, because I think what somebody else is going to sign right after him. So these things always happen. But you just want to have bragging rights on at least one of the parts of the deal, right? Either the most guaranteed, the most per season, the most total. The most something.
What's the most important one?
Most guaranteed.
Most guaranteed.
Of course.
So Jefferson got $110 million guaranteed. And I think the previous high for a receiver was 84. So that really sets the market. And he's awesome. And you know what? I actually Tell me if you agree with this one. I think the Vikings have to pay a little bit of Vikings tax here.
A little, maybe.
If I'm Jefferson, I'm like, who's the quarterback?
Well, I think that was what he was waiting for, too. Right? And it's apparently he's worked out enough with McCarthy to be like, all right, we're cool.
Confidence?
Yeah, we're cool. And I think that was definitely part of what he was waiting for. Like, all right, you got rid of the guy that has, you know, brought me all these numbers.
Right.
What are we going to do going forward? And in this case, he said, okay, comfortable with it. Let's make this happen.
Any worries? We've seen some athletes over the years maybe get less than motivated when they really cashed in. Max motivation. Jefferson's a competitive guy, wants to be the best.
Yeah.
He's not spoiled now.
I mean, we've seen injury concerns, but he also came back. He didn't have to, really.
Right.
Came back.
No change in attitude. Money's not going to change him. He's great.
I doubt it.
Okay.
You never know. It's hard to tell.
So, watching some videos, and you know where I watch them. It's all on TikTok. We'll talk about TikTok's future, by the way. I think it's insured now. Now that someone has signed up. Watching an old video, people love Dana White up there. Real clippable and very pro masculine male. Not like us weaklings with mental health issues. So I'm talking about a couple of different fighters and making fights now. And he said of Conor McGregor, he's like, he's got so much side business. The Mayweather fight, then you know, the whiskey. Now he's got a stout or something going on. He's got ad deals with different people.
He's at war with Guinness on social media, too.
And he said of Conor McGregor, you know, when you've got that much money, it's hard to get up at 4 a.m. to prep to get punched in the face. Now, Conor McGregor is, we think, prepping to get punched in the face by Michael Chandler. Or is he? Because when was this press conference?
Supposed to be this morning. Well, today in Dublin.
Okay, so morning our time, probably evening theirs, or later in the day theirs. Chandler's part of it?
Yeah, he was flying over.
Oh, boy. And it got canceled. And normally I wouldn't flip out over a cancellation, but ESPN absolutely grabbed hold of it. Now they're the broadcast partner, but they grabbed hold of it and it was up on their front page. And I saw it on the bottom line on some of the shows this morning. See the New York Post saying, oh, rumors are flying.
Yeah.
This is a big deal, right? They were going to have 10,000 people plus.
Yeah. I think, I mean, that's obviously the bigger deal of it. Now, a lot of people are calling it last minute. Wasn't really last minute. I think they could have announced it sooner because it happened sometime between when Dana left UFC 302 on Saturday night and when Chandler was scheduled to take off for Ireland yesterday. So it happened early in the day yesterday that it was decided that this wasn't going to happen. They didn't announce it until late night last night, you know, U.S. time, early morning Dublin time. They could have probably announced it sooner. But plans were in the works because Chandler was told before he got on the plane on Sunday. So early Sunday, he was, you know, on the way to the airport. They were like, hey, don't worry about it. Stay home.
It's a hell of a flight to take for no reason.
It is, for sure.
You're getting a free vacation. And guess what? When you're training for a big money fight like this, you're not going to Ireland and going on a vacation.
Yeah. So he didn't go. He didn't get on the plane. So it was determined a little bit earlier than they announced it that it wasn't going to happen. But yeah, I think a lot of concern is raised over what does this mean? What happens going forward? Is there potential injury? Is there an issue with, you know, is the fight not signed yet and they're still working on deals? Like who knows what exactly is going on behind the scenes and everybody's trying to scramble to figure it out. I would say it's not nothing. Like, it's not nothing. It's something. But I would hesitate to say that it's, you know, the end of the fight, as a lot of people also freaked out about, which it might be.
The New York Post had a very clickbaity, and that's what they do. That's what it does. Very clickbaity, you know, rumors are flying. Like, the rumors have been not really flying. They're not rumors. He posted himself, Conor McGregor, that he was out partying. He posted it on his own Instagram.
Well, then
has like 45 million followers. So
yes, but Dana also fought back on that and said,
hold on one second.
Yeah.
Let me explain the story to the audience, please. So the thought there immediately is that he's not doing any training. That's the only thing he posted. Now, Dana fought back on what?
If you look at the videos, one has a beard and one doesn't. Now, did he shave or are they just old videos that he's just trolling with?
Ooh.
Which that's why I'm saying, like, be careful with saying that happened. We don't know, like, what did happen. We don't know what happened with his Instagram because maybe they're old. Maybe he's just trying to mess with everybody. That's what, and going back to last week, I think we talked about this on the air, that Stipe Miocic posted a training video, and it looks like he's never fought a fight before. and people were coming at John Jones like, this is the guy you're going to fight? And he was like, that's clearly some tactics to try to make me think he sucks now. Wow. Like, that's not real. So I think a lot of people, you look on Instagram and you're like, well, this posted, so this happened. Like, did it? Because the internet's not always real either. So there's a lot of things that go into this. Like, we don't know that Connor's been partying. I think we assume that he has, because that's just what he does. But just because he posted on a story doesn't mean that he actually did it.
Question on drug rumors, right? That go with the party rumors with Connor. On the testing, it's now in-house at UFC. Nevada State Athletic Commission, State of Nevada, have nothing to do with any testing?
They still can.
Okay.
They can. And they'll do fight week testing. But they do have the ability to test once a fight is signed. So that's the other thing. I was like, have we seen the signed contract? Because if they announce it but haven't signed the contract, I don't think that they can start testing it.
Who does medicals?
The commission will do it here.
Okay.
You have to submit them. Is Connor 35 yet? 35 is when you have to start doing extensive medicals.
That's not a UFC thing.
That's a commission thing. Nevada thing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
How far out was Jones when he got nabbed for coke, which he wasn't supposed to be nabbed for because they weren't supposed to be testing for it?
Yeah.
Right?
It was a week out.
It was a week out that he was doing Yayo.
But he still fought.
And he fought it.
He fought because they weren't supposed to test it. Somebody right. just tested additional tests that they weren't supposed to run. And caught that, but it's not banned out of competition, so they weren't supposed to do that. It just leaked out that he had tested positive, but he still was able to fight.
Interesting. All right. Well, last week, you know, we're talking about future earnings for Conor McGregor, future earnings for Justin Jefferson. Last week, we had some fun with Darren Waller and his song that was out with the fake Kelsey Plum in it. Sounds like he's still pretty broken up over there, broken up marriage, and the Giants were in limbo. Like, what's going on here? Is this guy going to play? I don't think we've seen anything officially from Waller, right?
We tried.
Oh, was that part of the hunt you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, wow. Oh, and he was in town. Okay, we'll get to the whole story about him being in town. But sources are saying that the Giants believe that he is retiring. Darren Waller, the former Raider tight end, you know, real part of the fabric here in Las Vegas, but may not play football anymore. At least not this upcoming year.
Yeah, that's been the talk for, you know, a couple months now. He wasn't planning on being in New York. He wasn't planning on attending OTAs. He wasn't at OTAs. So the speculation was, well, are you playing or not? And he said, you know, right after the season, he wasn't decided on his future. So this has been speculated and debated, and it's been a very big story in New York, obviously, for the last, you know, month or two, what's going to happen. They believe that he's going to retire. I watched his Instagram Live the other day. I couldn't get anything out of it, really. In fact, there was times during it I was like, oh, he's retiring, and then there was times I was like, oh, he's definitely coming back.
What was the Instagram Live?
He just jumped on Instagram Live and just sat and just talked.
Oh, wow.
For like an hour. And then those go away. So, I mean, you can post it if you want to, but for the most part, it just disappears. So it's not like you can grab it. And there wasn't a whole lot of people watching, by the way. So it's not like there was media picking up what he was saying. He was just kind of rambling and talking about his music.
Giveaway time, 364-1100, 364-1100. We'll get to Waller again in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, though, we've got Aces back on the floor in town at the MUA, Mick Ultra Arena, Mick Ultra Arena. AXS.com is where you can get your tickets. Still a few available because they are sold out for the season. AXS.com. 4-pack, 7 o'clock start on Friday. Caller 7 right now, 364-1100. Your Aces are back to take on the Seattle Storm.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
Well, look what the stork brung. Little baby devil with the forked tongue. And it's sticking out, yeah, like a sore thumb. With a forehead that it grew horns from. Still a white jerk. Pulling up in a Chrysler to the cipher. With the flex perks and a Bud Light shirt. Lyrical technician and electrician. Y'all light work. And I don't got to play for
all right.
It's you, I make believe.
That was one of the things that happened this weekend that was kind of popular on social media. You're an Eminem guy.
Sure.
Revival? Sad? Funny? Make you feel old?
Some of his new releases are a mixed bag. I mean, I thought there was definitely parts of Houdini that you know, some of the track was like, all right, that's old Eminem, and then some was, you know, him getting old. Yeah. I think that's part of it.
As often happens on social media, people will post something and say, folks are outraged over this. And then you look around on a search and you're like, no one's outraged.
Yeah, over it. Where's the outrage?
So there was a line in there about Megan Thee Stallion and something about feet, F-E-A-T.
Sure.
Are you mad?
No.
It was just having fun.
No, he always uses double entendres like that, where it's feet, but, you know, shot in the feet, you know, those things always, that's part of why he's as great as he is.
He makes very good. Think.
He also, there was also, I saw a headline this week of Eminem takes shot at his kids in a song. And I was like, I heard this, like, what are they talking about? And like, he kind of joked about it, his kids being brats. If you watch, like, they're in the video being brats. Like, that's, like, I don't think that they took it as a shot at them.
Right.
There's just a lot of that stuff is just, you know, aggregation and, you know, somebody who's never even seen it before, you know, making up those opinions.
They call them piss ants, like the Boston radio guy did of Tom Brady's kids.
No, he did not.
Okay. Which was fine as well.
So they're brats.
Yes. I was going to say, I don't know what it is, but I do know what it is. And I can list about 10 different reasons why Caitlin Clark and the WNBA and more stories coming out over the weekend, why this has been such a big social media topic. And one of the top reasons is that the mainstream sports media is now covering the WNBA. And Adam, how many times do I have to mention stories of, if you want it, you got it! If you want mainstream sports media coverage, you're going to get covered the way the big sports get covered, which oftentimes is uncomfortable, oftentimes has more to do with off the field or ice or court than on the field. People are looking for clicks. People are looking for debates. And this story has everything. And one that I've seen online, and I will mention going back, I know I'm right on this one, and I'll have a whole dissertation on this later in the week. But I played Becky Hammond from a couple of weeks ago saying, no race! Race! No! No race! No white black! Knock it off! And when I heard that, I was like, is she ignorant or is she lying to us? There's always race. And when it comes to basketball, there's often race. There is. So, Stephen A. was talking about Caitlin Clark and the shot she got from Kennedy Carter over the weekend. Shannon Sharp was on. Monica McNutt is a former basketball player. She was on. I think she's awesome.
Yeah.
She's the analyst on radio for the Knicks. I think she's great. I think she's great when I've seen her on Greeny's show. But she wasn't having it this morning, and like you and I have had with Caitlin Clark at times, like you just argue right into the break. It's a good freaking topic, and there's so many layers to it. But they started going at it, and Stephen A. started getting huffy, and we've seen Stephen A. get huffy. And I'm going to explain why I think this case is pretty rare. But here's Stephen A. getting worked up.
All right. Who talks about the WNBA? Who talks about women? Who talks about women's sports more than First Take?
We do. Now, we don't have the platform First Take has, but we do.
Yeah.
So I will always say that on Sports Talk Radio, we talk about women's sports a lot. But I think sometimes when I do it, I shouldn't say that because it's almost like a defense mechanism. And I think Stephen A. was kind of, he was struggling a bit because they had gotten off, like, it was getting pretty heated. So this is towards the end of the spot, and Stephen A. was kind of blown away that Monica McNutt had the sack to kind of step up and go, no, no, no.
Stephen A., respectfully, with your platform, you could have been doing this 3 years ago if you wanted to.
Wow. All right, we got to go. You guys.
So did you say that to the show?
You know you're my guy, but
who does more than
Stephen
us?
Stephen A., I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you.
Wow.
Don't do that. I'm talking to you about the power that you have.
Okay.
I'm talking to you.
Okay. It's
you're my guy, but I'm talking to you.
Guys, I really appreciate
you. You're my girl, but you've missed a lot of episodes of First Take. You missed a lot.
Stephen A, 3 years ago, you would not talk about the W at this level. Don't do that.
Guys.
Nobody was, Monica. You making Stephen A's point, Monica. Monica, you making Stephen A's point.
Please let me do my job. Please let me do my job. We've gone for 40 minutes straight. It was a riveting discussion. I have to get into commercial break.
Blow out every other block on the show. Keep going. Now, normally, we would come on, because we've seen these cases many times before. We're like, well, that's the last time we see him. I'll go in the low voice here, like Stephen A does. I would not pick up this battle moving forward against Monica McNutt. This is also a workplace issue, right? And there are discussions that, and maybe approaches that used to be tolerated. Ooh, mama. I can only imagine what it was like behind the scenes.
I think it was fine.
We'll see. I think Max Kellerman thought it was fine for a long time.
Yeah.
I think Sam Acho thought it was fine last year when I pointed out Stephen A's basically like, you can be on the show or you can not be on the show. It's up to you. And then he's not on the show.
Well, I mean, I don't think it matters to her if she's on the show or not. She has other things to do.
That's a good platform. And I think being bullied off the show would be very dangerous for Stephen A to do that. But you can hear how heated this is. And we're going to get into it with Steve Kim. A lot of this was about coverage and the fact that, you know, the male sports media is picking up on it. This is a great thing for the WNBA. And I think the WNBA feels a little, I mean, women in general feel a little bit uncomfortable if they're getting, you know, dude-splained or dudes are taking credit for, you know, a big jump in attention.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the weird one to me was just Shannon Sharp, like jumping in, like, she's not making his point for him. She's saying, hey, yeah, all the attention's now. You could have done this a long time ago and you didn't. You chose not to. That's fine, but don't pretend like you've been here from the beginning. Right. You could have done this 3 years ago. Nobody was talking about him. Nobody was talking. Like, yeah, exactly. That's her point, not his point.
I think I'm guessing his side. I don't know what his side is. I'm guessing there are people out there who are like, hey, now that we're talking about it, it matters. Like, we're doing this for you.
Right. But his whole argument was he's been doing it forever. And she's like, no, you haven't. You could have done it forever. You didn't.
I don't remember them doing a lot of WNBA.
No. No. Well, I don't watch the show either.
I actually don't watch the show anymore.
No, I've never watched it.
That ended for me about 3 months ago with Stephen A. Because I think he's gotten a little, it's too much bullying stuff between the lines. But I watch the clips. If clips come across, that's the only way I saw this today was around, 1:45. I saw the clip. I was like, ooh, this got heated. And then, by the way, the body language when they were arguing, Molly was like slumped over.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if she was frustrated. She couldn't go to break or she's like, this is trouble.
They clearly were getting screamed at to go to break.
Yeah.
Because McNutt mentioned it like 4 times. It's like, I know we're supposed to go to break. Like, I get it. And then, it's Molly's entire job is to take them to break. And she's like, okay, you're not letting me do my, she even said there, you're not letting me do my job here.
What do we say all the time? We love heat. We love angst. We love when it plays out live. On the way back, I'm going to get to my quibble and query. Tommy Pham, our guy locally, you want to fight? Do you really want to fight? You want to come at me? Okay, Tommy Pham. I'm not speaking to Tommy. I know not to do this. But you're a catcher in the major leagues. You want to give him guff? He's ready.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
We got Steve Kim coming up in less than 10 minutes. Talk about the Wilder Zhang fight over the weekend. That didn't go well.
No. Well, not for Wilder.
Yeah. Went well for Zhang. We'll see.
Not even well for Zhang. We'll get into that.
He's 41, and Wilder is 37. I thought Wilder came in like wildly skinny. I don't think I've ever seen him that skinny before. He's fought as high as 234. He was like 214. His legs look like toothpicks, and they didn't hold up under the power punching of the big Chinese dude who's 6'6 and 282 pounds. Now, I'm not saying Tommy Pham should fight Zhang at 6'6, 282, but he might be willing.
He probably would.
So, play at the plate, White Sox game. He gets tagged out by a million miles. We'll break this down a little later because Pham's actually going to talk about, like, what was the big freaking deal? Let's not get all hoorah on that kind of play. But listen to the call here as things get heated and listen to the announcer on Chicago White Sox TV. I'm like, this, he must have played for the White Sox, right?
And now hold umpire Edwin Jimenez has to hold back fam. Nah, we ain't taking that. We ain't taking that from the Brewers. I don't care how many L's we got this year. We ain't taking that.
Steve Stone is on the broadcast, calmly comes in and just starts analyzing what was going on. John Schriffen, who I think we've had John on before. He's been a sideline reporter in a lot of sports. He's done some basketball. Apparently it was kind of controversial when I didn't even know about all this. I guess Jason Benetti, I know he was doing the White Sox on TV, and then he walked, or he was allowed to go to the Tigers, and people were pissed off, and they replaced him with Schriffen, who hadn't done any baseball play-by-play before. And then there was that weird action going, like, Uber Homer? What does it even mean?
I mean, my,
we're not going to take it?
It's funny you say that, because I didn't know the background of that. Like, yeah. My thought of listening was he's trying to prove something to the fans. Like, maybe the fans don't think he's Homer enough. Well, and so maybe that is what it was.
You got a little backlash because a lot of people are like, yeah, we didn't really like you coming in. And what are you doing?
We ain't taking that from the Brewers. Like, we're going to get tough now.
Go down on the field. Yeah. Seriously, he should have been like, Steve, take my headsets. And then, you know, 90 seconds later, but I'm guessing that stadium doesn't have a, actually, I don't even want to speak to it. I don't know if it was
an elevator
game. Yeah. I'm sure. If it's a, whatever their park is called. What's their park called?
Like American Family something?
Comiskey, third Comiskey.
Park. I thought it was on the road.
Okay, so it was in Milwaukee. So
I'm not.
It's a relatively new stadium, although Miller Park was asking for money, you know, or the area, or the Brewers were asking for money from the city, and maybe the elevators were the issue. But anyway, I don't think he was willing to run down to the field and start fighting.
I mean, that would have been great.
And guess what? Tommy Pham does not need your.
It actually would have been really funny if he did that, and then all of a sudden you see him come popping out of the dugout. Like, what? Where's he going? It would have been great. It seemed, especially to acknowledge, because I think one of the things was like, you're not taking what? You're losing every single game. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't care how many.
At least he acknowledged that in there. Like, we're terrible, but we're going to win this fight. Like, all right. I mean, that is probably their best chance, even though I feel like Contreras would be a favorite, but I'm not picking against Tommy Pham ever.
Over Pham?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Giant.
It's
like Zhang Wilder.
I mean, take the equipment off.
No, he's not. Why would he?
Oh, you just keep the helmet on?
Of course.
Well, I think, don't you grab the helmet? That's the first thing you grab, right?
Yeah, probably. Like, but, I mean, you still got the chest protector, and you got the – you probably throw some pretty nice tie kicks with those the shin guards.
It wasn't Milwaukee. You're right. Are you sure on the size difference? I think we get fooled by catchers. The equipment does make some of them massive.
I feel like Contreras is huge.
No. Says he's 5'11", 216.
All right. Well, how's Big's fam?
What, 5'9", 200?
Okay.
How big do you think he is?
I didn't think he was 200, but maybe he is.
Feels like he's 6'3", 340 the way he talks.
I mean, he's definitely like
he's bigger. I thought he was short. No. He's listed at 6'1", 222. He's a bigger guy.
All right, well, I guess it's a fair fight. Maybe he does need to wear the equipment.
Too much mustard on the call?
It seemed like it. But look, I mean, if you're watching White Sox games at this point, maybe you need something. You need to get juiced up like that by an announcer, I guess. There's nothing. You're not watching baseball. They stink.
Up next, Steve Kim comes in from Three Knockdown Rule, the podcast. Steve Kim, 323, up on Twitter to talk about two big losses of the weekend. One being Deontay Wilder, the other being Stephen A. Smith.
Now, back to Cofield and Company. Only on ESPN, Las Vegas.
We're talking about them maximizing their great potential. And because we bring that up and talk about what potentially might get in their way, which we do to men all the time, now we got to sit up here and watch every syllable. I resent that.
Welcome to the world of being a woman, Stephen A.
All right. what a good hot button issue, Caitlin Clark. There are so many levels and layers to this. And we're just starting to see more and more of them come out. Stephen A. and Monica McNutt's going back and forth on coverage of the NBA and who's responsible for building the big number. Steve Kim is in. I know he's a viewer of sports, a viewer of TV. I don't think he's a viewer of WNBA. But I'm sure he's watching all this, kind of getting a good chuckle out of what's happened with the WNBA. Right, Steve?
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's better than the actual games and the McNutt Stephen A. Smith exchange is interesting. It's something that definitely Jason Whitlock and I will be talking about later this week, maybe on tomorrow's show. And it's heated. Look, say what you want. It is probably the most coverage the WNBA has ever warranted.
Yep. Oh, by far. What's the angle that you would suggest for Whitlock?
Well, I just think, to me, Stephen A. Smith is in a very precarious situation because he can't say what he really wants to say, or he cannot be fully honest with people like McNutt. Because when she's telling people that there's a foundation that was laid long before Caitlin Clark, hey, guys, it was a bad foundation. It was like building a condominium on quicksand. There's a reason why this league wasn't very popular. Okay, so let's be very honest about it. And if Stephen A. goes all the way in, he'll either be branded a misogynist or being anti-black or being anti-black female. And then he can't win that discussion. And a lot of these guys don't have the guts to really just take the heat and say, hey, look, this is how I feel.
Adam?
I mean, I would certainly say that if there wasn't a league for her to go to, then what would she have done?
She probably would have gone to another league, maybe one where she's not assaulted or picked
league?
On. But
yeah,
I mean, the WNBA, look, at the end of the day, it's not a coincidence that these young ladies are not just flying on Spirit and Frontier Airlines now. It's a direct result of one player. We have to be honest about this. Is her race a factor in her popularity? Yes. To say anything else would be dishonest. But some of the derision and treatment she's getting to say has nothing to do with the color of her skin is also would be equally as dishonest to state.
I mean, perhaps. I know that Indiana has kind of fought back on that and said, look, Aaliyah Boston got the same treatment last year. Where was everyone? Like, where was this debate last year?
I don't think Steve mentioned anything about the rough play, did you?
Yeah.
I mean, the rough play is the rough play. I personally think Caitlin Clark in this offseason, when she gets a longer one, needs to get stronger physically. And she does need to toughen up. And in terms of Indiana, they're going to have to get their version of an enforcer. Jordan had Charles Oakley early on. I don't know who would be the equivalent of that in the WNBA. But there's going to have to be some teammates that actually want to, I don't know, watch their teammates back once in a while. You know, the play is the play. She's going to have to toughen up. This is competition. But, I do know this. In the AFL, when it came to Joe Namath, I've seen interviews, I've seen documentaries where opposing players flat out said, when we sacked or tackled Joe Namath, we made sure we played fair, we would never think about hurting him. We would make sure that he was taken care of because we understood that is our money. Because that guy means a lot to us as players and as a league, so we would never take extra shots at Willie Joe Namath, Joe Willie. I don't know, are we seeing that here? Are we seeing any foresight? Are we seeing any grasp of the big picture? Or are we just seeing a lot of jealousy and envy?
One, I would argue that Aaliyah Boston at 6'4 and 240 should have done something in that moment. I know I'm a hothead. I would have absolutely thrown the ball at Carter's face and tried to break her face. I'm not, not proud of that, but that's what I would have done. I know you said earlier off the air, Adam, maybe Clark's teammates just don't like her. And maybe it's not jealousy. Maybe it's something about her they don't like and they don't have her back.
I mean, I think with any other player, that's what we would have said right away.
We have said that about male athletes in the past.
I said 2 weeks ago that I predicted this would be a lot like Pistol Pete Maravich, that when he came into the league, his own teammates did not like him. He had some issues. It was very polarizing. It was very ostracizing for him. I think the NBA run for Pistol Pete was a very mixed bag. And look, I see these scenes where immediately Caitlin will step onto the court and all the fans and all the kids, she's the center of attention. No matter how badly she plays, she's the one that people want to have the autographs or the most amount of autographs. They want to take the pictures. And I think a lot of these veterans are thinking, well, wait a minute, I've been here for 8, 9, 10 years. I'm actually a better player. nobody ever cared about me. Nobody ever got more attention than I did. I think that right there, I don't even see that right there is not even a racial element. I just think that is a dynamic in terms of who is where on the totem pole, and it has to do with star status, star treatment. And look, I'm going to go there, but a lot of people have told me for years that nobody is more jealous of women than other women in the workplace. So there's also that.
There's a lot of dynamics. It's really interesting. Adam loves Pat McAfee. I don't know if he loved what he did this morning, but Pat McAfee, and I saw you retweet it early in the show, was kind of having Caitlin Clark's back by showing TV numbers and saying, hey, she's the one. Stop trying to say it's the whole rookie class. She's the one. Angel Reese, by the way, sort of answered that today and said, no, people are watching for me as well. I saw a regular talk show host, we'll say a news talk show host in Philly, then compare Angel Reese to Scottie Pippen in terms of her cluelessness when it comes to Caitlin Clark. I'm like, this is awesome, man. I love all of this.
You know, look, do all the players matter? I guess, because there has to be a league. But this is a lot like boxing. Do certain fighters like a Canelo Alvarez and before them a Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, and De La Hoya, do they mean or matter more than the average fighter? Yes. That's just the way it works.
Why, Steve? That's not fair.
Yeah. That's not fair, but it's like that old line from Animal Farm. Everyone is equal. Some people are just a little bit more equal. That's show business, and that is life. And I actually think if Caitlin Clark was really petty, she should just take a year off, play in Europe, or just say she's going to go on a sabbatical. See where the league is. See where the league is. See if these ladies like taking Greyhounds again on their road trips. You know, there's a thing called gratitude. It's not a bad thing.
Steve Kim, at Steve Kim 323, Three Knockdown Rules podcast with Mario Lopez. You mentioned boxing. You ready to move on, Adam, or you got more points?
No.
Okay, you mentioned boxing. Deontay Wilder went down hard. Tell us what happened in the fight. People who didn't watch the fight. Zhang was the winner. What happened?
Well, nothing that was unexpected to me. I mean, if you look, Deontay Wilder's not lost 4 out of 5. In his one victory, he landed a right hand against his former sparring partner. So keep this in mind, guys. Since the end of 2019, beginning with the early 2020 rematch with Tyson Fury, where he got thrashed in Las Vegas, he's now 1-4. And every fight that I see him in now, specifically the last two, I see a boxer that is no longer willing to unleash that monster right hand that used to be his one weapon. And I think the term gun-shy comes to mind. I don't know if his legs are underneath him, and now his punch resistance is down to a nub. And he's facing guys that could really sock and are 70 pounds bigger than him. I think it's time for him to retire. I think he's had a really good run based on where he started, what he accomplished, the money he earned. But the pilot light is off. I don't see this being turned around. And he's right around the age of 40, guys. He's not a young guy, even though he has a pretty youthful athletic look. There's still a pretty good amount of odometer miles on that tank. And so I just think, to me, for his own good, if I was running that career, I would advise Deontay, look, we've done as much as we can. You've accomplished a lot. It's over.
The second punch that took him down, was that a sucker punch?
No. Look, he got spun around. He did a 360 off that swiping right hook. And the punch kind of turned him around. And what is that old saying, fellas? Protect yourself at all times. And Zhang Zhilei pounced on him. It was a legal punch. And I don't know what else to really say other than the fact that it happened. It was not a big surprise to me. I know people were still hoping that Wilder, at least against a more ponderous, bigger guy, would find ways to unleash that right hand. But, guys, it did not seem like he ever really threw that right hand with any real bad intentions.
I pointed out a couple minutes ago, to my recollection, that was the lightest I've ever seen Wilder. I mean, his legs look really skinny. I think he's fought as high as like 235, you know, recent times, maybe 219, 224. He was 214 pounds going in. I wonder what the reasoning for that was.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. Here's the problem. He was going to give up 50-plus pounds regardless to Big Bang Zhang, who just is a large man. And if you look at the lower body of Deontay Wilder, he's one of those guys you see at 24-Hour Fitness. They do a lot of bench press and military press. They don't hit the squat rack. His legs have always been a little bit lean and skinny. And now I think there's a real loss of confidence. And once you get to that point, it's that great line from Rocky III where Mickey told Rocky, said the worst thing happened to you that could happen to a fighter, you're civilized. He looks like a civilized guy now. And so I'll just reiterate this point. For the best intentions, if you have them for Deontay Wilder, in my view, I think the advice should be to walk off into the sunset.
How much should promoters, a promoter now, embrace Zhang? Can you tell me, is there a mega potential market in China? And I would assume he should be in line for a pretty big fight. It would be a big promotion.
Well, he's up there in the ratings. Now, it looks like Daniel Dubois, who walked through some fire to beat Hrgović, is going to be fighting Anthony Joshua. Usyk has to fight Fury. I'm not exactly so sure where Zhang is. And in terms of the Chinese market, again, I don't know what the politics are that would prevent or allow a big fight card to take place in that part of the world right now. But he's certainly in the mix. I think he's certainly a top four heavyweight. And as long as there's a Turkey Alo-Sheikh and Saudi Arabia with the Riyadh season, there'll always be a home for him to make a pretty good living. But I get the sense, guys, that if you lay out the fights that I just did, it's going to be at least another fight or two before he gets a real crack at one of those titles.
Well, I don't think he has 30 fights yet, right? But he's like, isn't he like 41?
Yeah, he's pretty old. And keep this in mind, guys, there's a history with him and Anthony Joshua. I think they faced each other in the 2012 Olympics. And it was kind of a lot of people think it was a controversial decision. The one thing about Zhang, though, he's a big guy, and obviously he's not very fast. At times, a little bit ponderous. So his style, I think, will age fairly well, because the last thing to go on a fighter that I've been told many times is the power. He's heavy-handed. You saw that again on Saturday night. Even when he lost to Joseph Parker a few months back, he still scored two knockdowns. So on any given night, guys, he is a very, very dangerous big man.
What do you expect to be the big topics this week on Three Knockdown Rule?
Well, we're going to talk about, obviously, what happened in Riyadh, and we have hopefully, I don't want to jinx it, we're going to have a special in-studio guest that'll be of great magnitude. I'll send you a picture, Steve. I don't want to jinx it just yet, though.
Okay. By the way, before we get out, is Garcia's father, he's the one who called you a POS, is he the one who's trained Ryan Garcia to defame multiple companies and draw lawsuits? Because I don't understand why he won't shut the hell up.
I haven't heard from Old Henry in a couple of weeks. What's going on there? They've changed their story a few times. And then, did you see on Saturday where Ryan said his mom had terminal cancer and he didn't know how long she had left, and he produced a video of him crying, and then he had a few follow-up tweets were really interesting. I hope everything's okay there. There's no ill will on my end. If you want to call me a POS, I may not even disagree with that type of distinction, but I hope everything's okay with the Garcia family.
Steve, we appreciate it. We'll see you, buddy.
All right, guys, have a great week.